Now let me welcome you to my small town. Big trucks in the yard, big bucks on the wall, country folks all around. How I was raised, in the way drums quake and they shake that box. 88 and the dope boys hotter than Hell's Gate, but I'm still in the shade with a fold out chair and a 30 pack on the back of that tailgate. ALA, BAMA, I'm off. I might be in the lake. I might go to Talladega and see me a race. Take the bow off, dipped in Monty yoke with a mullet mohawk. Yeah, with a bright orange hat and a bat underneath that Chevy. See, yeah, but it might go off. Split you like a bowling ball, split you in my overalls. Ah, yeah, home in the gummo. Got a couple folks that to do it to you for the hundo. And when I'm at a 10-foot rumbo, that Dixie cup's gonna fall off the console. You don't wanna have a convo with not understand that Bama slang. We like hotter, it ain't it, but I come to paint it. So yeah, you won't get sold off.
It ain't about the money, I'm a sold off. I made my own.
You're listening to Andrew on The Drew Show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Drew Show today for this segment. Thank you all so much for joining me today. As always, it is such a pleasure for you to join me. I made an announcement, just a status update, I guess you could say, on Facebook a moment ago. Right after this show, I have an announcement coming up that I'll make on this show, and I hope that you all will stay tuned for it. It's kind of an important announcement about my place as a host on The Drew Show. As you know, I've been doing this for a year, and it's been such a pleasure doing this. I've had such a great time. But I just have a little announcement I want to make and things like that. So please stay tuned after the show for that. And we'll do that. I want to thank you everyone so much for joining us. As always, you can find us on our official website at thedrewshow.com. Find us on Twitter at DrewBTR. That's DrewBTR. Please follow me. You can keep up with our shows on Twitter and along with my craziness and crazy twits and retweets and all that good stuff. Thank you all so much for joining me for the show we had last week with Chris Mann from The Voice. I believe he is a front runner and he will win the entire show. So it was such a pleasure having him on, and I appreciate all of you for listening to that. We have a great show today, everyone. And like I said, thank you all so much for joining me. You've seen this guy as a lead character in Wes Craven's The People Under the Stairs. You've seen him on Lost, Men in Black, Spin City, so many more. I just can't name them all. And you do know him from the famous Got Milk commercial, which was one of my favorites. I am so pleased to welcome to The Drew Show today, Mr. Sean Whalen. How are you, sir?
I am good. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing great, doing great. Thank you so much for joining me. I really do appreciate you taking the time out.
Oh, not a problem.
So as I understand it, you're in L.A. now, right?
I am live in Los Angeles, beautiful Southern California.
Right. How's the weather and everything treating you there?
It's good. It's good. Our winters are, cool in the morning in the 40s or 50s, and then it gets up to like 70 or 80 in the day, and then in the evening it cools back down again. But right. At least we get like 4 or 5 hours of really nice weather.
Well, that's nice. And as you know, I'm in Georgia, so we didn't really have a bad winter this year. I mean, there were a few days where it was really cold, but it wasn't bad at all. I tell you what,
pretty mild when I was there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's really been the way it's been. In the middle of December, it's mild. So, go figure, huh?
Yeah.
Well, spring training is quickly approaching. Are you a big Dodgers fan?
You know what? I the only sports I follow are UCLA, UCLA football,
really?
and then I narrow it down to the UCLA USC game, and since. That has been such a horrible debacle every year that I actually follow no sports at this point.
Now, I should know this. I feel kind of crazy, but where are you actually from?
I am from Maryland.
Maryland, okay.
I am from the right outside. I was Silver Spring, Maryland, right in between D.C. and Baltimore.
Okay.
Went to Sherwood High School in Olney, Maryland.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a UCLA game?
I have. I was there when I was at UCLA from 82 to 86, and I saw, Neuheisel. I saw, the winning streak when we were doing well, when UCLA
right.
was beating USC, but that sadly ended.
Well, I'm a more NFL fan than I am college, but as far as college, I'm a Georgia Tech fan, and I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know if you know it or not, but Georgia is Bulldogs state, so I get picked on a lot.
All right. Hey, I was here when Troy Aikman was here. I mean, it was pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, I do appreciate you joining me, and it's a real pleasure to have you on. And I had the opportunity to meet you last Friday, and I want to first of all thank you for being at a convention right outside of Atlanta, and I want to thank you for being so humble. And it was such a pleasure to meet someone that is in Hollywood and that still appreciates their fans and everything. I do appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, it was such nice people, and I now know what Southern hospitality means.
Right, absolutely. I hear a lot of people saying that every time they come to Georgia, so
yep.
it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, in 1991, you played as Roach in Wes
yep.
Craven's People Under the Stairs. Can you tell us, what was it like working on this film?
It was my first large role. I had gone in for roles before auditions, and this one was very obviously very different, and I had a acting coach that I'd always bring my auditions to, and we'd work on it together. And I remember my friends at the time were just graduating business school, and they were saying, well, gosh, I am interviewing all these guys in my suit all day long. And I said, well, I was crawling around the floor shirtless in Wes Craven's office screaming with no words behind a chair today. So my interview went a lot different than yours did. So, I got the part, and it was really great. And then Wes is just very mellow, very nice. He's like, my line this weekend was, he's like, it's like your new stepdad, but the stepdad that you're glad that your mom married, not the one you're bummed that he married. He
right.
was very, very mellow and cool, and it was really fun. I remember because I had to be in the makeup chair every morning because they attach these long fingers to me every day, and I just remember hanging out and laughing with the two makeup girls, and then going to set and running around the crazy walls. And hey, the best part about it was, as an actor, all I had to do was really react and be open because I had no lines. if anyone remembers, my tongue was cut out in that, so I didn't mm-hmm. have anything to say.
Wow. Were you relieved of that just because of the magnitude of the film?
Yeah, I think it was a nice way to do your first big movie, you know, not have to worry about that. Not that I've ever had a lot of trouble with lines, but it just kind of made the character more pure, because all I did was really, really just pay attention to everything around me and just react to it. I did keep that prosthetic tongue in all the time just so I could react verbally, but it wouldn't make sense anyway. So.
As I said, and as you just mentioned, if anyone missed it, this movie was directed by the genius, in my opinion, of movies, Wes Craven.
Yeah.
I think he's just amazing. And you said a little bit about him just then. What was it like being around him every day? Was it kind of a new mystery every day? I mean, what was it like really learning from him?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. He had taken care of all the weird mystery, crazy plot twists and everything in the writing. So when he was directing, he was just guiding you calmly into each scene and just saying, you know, now, you know, I've been with directors who say, okay, now you're, you know, a little worried and angry at this person because, you know, he stole your girlfriend. And this one was just a little different. He said, now you're a little bit worried and angry because the guy in the S&M outfit is going to try to shoot you with a gun. So, I mean, it was, you know, the same kind of direction in terms of just being calm and telling you what to do. It's just he's telling you to do some crazy stuff.
Right.
So he that's the thing. It wasn't like, it's like, oh, Wes is on the set. He was very, very relaxed, and you kind of scratch your head and go, this is the guy that came up with Freddy? I can't believe it.
Really? So yeah. He was just very approachable in everything, huh?
Yeah, in every way. I mean, like I said, he must have, you know, who knows what he's doing when he's writing all this stuff, but when he's directing, he's completely normal and very nice and very supportive, and, you know, it was nice.
Did you actually get to talk to him once the filming was over, you know, once y'all had, if y'all had an after party or anything like that, did you actually get to?
Yeah, you have those moments a lot throughout a shoot where you're waiting for lighting to be set up, and he was really great and said, you know, he was very excited about the film, and but, you know, he had done it several times before, so it was, you know, these guys write a movie, then they try to get it produced, and then they shoot it, and then they work on the post-production, which is, you know, the sound stuff, and then they go back and do it again. So, I mean,
right.
We do forget that is kind of it's his day job, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he was just very nice and very excited about everything that we were doing, felt good about it, really enjoyed us. But, you know, now it's time for him to go into edit the movie and do the sound and all the post-production stuff for the next few months. So,
right.
You know, you forget that it's a process, you know, writing it, putting it together, then shooting it, and then they have to, you know, piece it all together afterwards.
Right, right. And, you know, I really enjoyed The People Under the Stairs a lot. Did you, now there are so many lights and so many things going on in the film. Did anything happen that, you know, nobody ever really got to see on camera, of course, that any fun stories or anything like that?
Well, the funnest story that I had was, well, there's a couple, but the main one that prompted me to wear my tongue was we were doing a scene where I'm helping a little girl or coming out of the wall to be friends with a little girl who is trapped inside. And all of a sudden, the bad guys, the parents who are keeping the people under the stairs, bust in the room and they shoot me. Or they shoot at me and I dive through a wall. Well, the guy busted in the room and I went, oh, shoot. And ran, you know, he scared me. I went, oh, shoot. And like dove in the wall and crawled away. And we cut, and Wes calmly walked over and said, well, that was great, but you know you can't really talk because you have no tongue. And I went, oh, my God, I didn't even realize that. I didn't even know I had said anything, but it was just so scary that I just reacted. And he said, yeah, you know, we're talking. So I said, you know what, give me that prosthetic tongue, and I put it on top of my regular tongue. And I never took it off the rest of the time, like I said, so I could just keep talking. And then I just remember trying to crawl into this oven where these Rottweilers were chasing me, and they would hold the dogs on their 2 feet. I mean, they were going at us, and they were standing. They were lunging so hard that they were on 2 feet, wow. And they were just, you know, maybe 5 yards away from us. And the shot was me with my leg out, pulling it in and shutting the door really quick. They were going to let him go, and then I had a second to get in there before he got to the got my leg. So, I mean, sitting there waiting for that, and they said, don't worry, there's no way he'll be able to get you. And I said, whoo, that doesn't look that same. And I was like, yeah, I don't think he will get to me if I do it perfectly, but if I slip up in the slightest bit, that dog's going to tear. And they had different dogs. They had the nice dog that chased me through the walls, that's kind of pretty sweet but just knows how to run. And then they had the mean dogs, a meaner version of that dog, for these kind of scenes. So it was definitely not a lot of acting going on there with the fear of getting bitten by a dog. So
I imagine you had some moments in the movie or them asking you to do something like that, for instance, that
yeah.
did you ever have a moment where you're like, you want me to do what?
Well, that was pretty much that moment where I thought, oh my God, this is crazy. So that was pretty much it. And then, you know, whenever you have a fake gun shooting at you, that's a little scary too.
Right. I can imagine. So, yeah. Well, you've been in so many great films, Lost, Men in Black, Jury Duty, Twister, mm-hmm. and that's just to mention a few. I wish I could mention them all, and I want to go through some of them if we can.
Sure.
What was it like working on Lost? It was filmed in Hawaii, is that right?
Yes, I had done a show with Adam Horowitz and Eddie Kitsis, who mm-hmm. Were on. I did a show called Life as We Know It, from my friend Jeff Judah, and we met on election night when it was funny, when George Bush won his second term, I think his second term, and we were up in Canada shooting. So it was weird hearing Canada's version of our election. When I remember us all sitting around the TV monitors, we became friends that night, but I didn't really hear from them because they were busy writing when I got back to town. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years later, they called up, and I didn't even know they were on Lost, and they said, we want you to come and do Lost. So I didn't even have to audition for that. And I went and did a webisode. Webisode was kind of a screen test to see if I could handle this character that they had been writing called Neil Froger. And then after I did the webisode, a year later, they said, hey, come on out, and you're going to do a couple episodes. And that's the famous episode where I got an arrow through the chest, a flaming arrow mm-hmm. through the chest, which was really, I mean, I started to read it and think, oh, this is a great character. Hopefully I'll be on several episodes. And then,
right.
You know, 3 pages in, you go, you see that there's a flaming arrow in your chest, and you go, oh, I guess that's over with. So it was exciting, but a little bit disappointing that you think you're going to be around for a while. But
right.
And then I thought, well, maybe I'm not hurt. And I remember turning the page, and it says, he stumbles around the beach and then falls face down in the water, dead. There's nothing clearer than that. But when I got there, everyone was so nice. I mean, everyone was nice. And I had worked with Jeremy, who I forget the character on the show. He was a scientist on the show, and we were on Twister together. So it was great seeing him again. And we were, you know, riding around in a boat, and I saw him put on his costume. And it was really weird because I just watched we were big fans of the show. We just watched the series finale, and then I was shooting the first episode of the new season. I'm sorry, not series finale, season finale. And I was shooting the opening of the next season, and you're sitting there in the boat looking around going, wait, I just saw this. And now I'm in it. Now I'm part of it. It was really, wow. really strange. But then I think I just remember that mostly because I had my big speech at the end of the day, right before I get the flaming arrow, and they left. The last shot of the day was me getting a close-up. Well, at the end of a long shoot day, they get their whole schedule for the next day based on when they end. So if I screwed mm-hmm. up, they could have screwed up their whole schedule. So I just remember everyone staring at me like, you better get this right or you're going to cost this production thousands of dollars. And I thought, oh, my God. But
no pressure.
But I did well, and the director came over and said, "Awesome, you know, we can move on. It was great." And so they were all very happy. So that was pretty fun. But just being in Hawaii was really, really great, and the cast was super friendly, so, and welcoming. So that made it a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I really think it's cool that you, like you said, you really didn't have to audition for it at all. And not even that, not only that, you actually got to go to Hawaii. So that's pretty cool in itself.
You know what? It's funny because the next time I went, there was a lot of gaps in the schedule. And I was there for like 2.5 weeks. And people say, "Oh, you're so lucky you're in Hawaii." And I said, "Well, you got to remember, being in Hawaii alone, you're still alone." I mean,
right.
So you go down to the beach and there's people with their spouses or people with their families or people with their friends, and you're just sitting there by yourself. and then you go out and maybe rent a surfboard and you're just surfing by yourself, and then you go to dinner and you're just sitting there by yourself. So anywhere can be lonely, I guess, is my point.
Yeah. Kind of takes the magic away. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're sitting there dying thinking, "God, my kids would love this, you know. I wish I could bring them out here with me." So.
Yeah. Well, talking about Lost, did you get to be around Matthew Fox at all?
Very little. I had no scenes with him. Most of mine were with Josh Holloway it's just scenes wise we weren't, but we ran into each other one day on the set and had like a 10-minute conversation, and you know, and that was it. But that was the only time I really saw him.
Okay, well, one of your next films, Men in Black, which is one of my favorites. I love that movie. What was your experience in filming that one and being around Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones?
Well, that one was, there's a kind of a heartbreaking story with that one. I was cast as Tommy Lee Jones' assistant, who was in the movie throughout the whole movie.
Right.
And they made the deal, and then the Monday morning after they made the deal, they said they wrote the part out. And they went with the little cigarette-smoking, thin alien guys instead. And that was, I always said I would have done that part for free. It was such a great part. It was such a great character. It was throughout the whole movie. It probably would have changed my career, to be really honest. But they just felt it wasn't the right tone for what they were going for. So they ended up having to put me in the movie. The accountant said, "Look, we're paying this guy. We have to pay him. We may as well put him in the movie." And thank God they did, because even though I didn't have it turned out that after they cut it all down, it wasn't a very big part, but the residuals were pretty good because that was a big movie.
Right.
It made a lot of money. So, but I would have done it for free had I kept that original part. It was tough to lose that one.
I bet that was, and that, I guess that's, is that kind of the movie business aspect, that anything
you never
can change
know.
On?
Yeah, you absolutely never know. Wow. You can, you know, everybody says the same thing. Once you see it on screen, until you see it on screen and your contract is signed and you're on the set, and, you know, you get the part, and then you go on the set, and then you shoot the whole part, and then, you know, it happened on an Ang Lee movie for me, and everyone was saying it's one of their favorite scenes, but for the story, it didn't work, and the producers were wonderful and sent me the scene, and I ended up using it on my reel, but it was, you know, it just didn't fit the story, and, you know, the famous story is Kevin Costner in The Big Chill. He had a whole storyline, and he was never in it, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, you don't know. That's the hardest part of being an actor, is you really don't have any control of what the final product will be, unless you're big enough to have control over what the final product will be, like a George Clooney or a Brad Pitt. So.
Right. Now, did you ever have any problems with anyone on set of Men in Black, as far as Will Smith or anyone?
No. Again, I wasn't there very much. The only interaction I had with Will was one time in a movie trailer, and he was in the makeup trailer, and we were chatting, and he was just saying what a big fan he was of the milk commercial, the Aaron Burr milk commercial. So
I love that.
But he was very friendly, but you know. We talked for maybe 10 minutes. So, like I said, that was one of just a big kind of sweeping scene where I was checking in aliens from far away. So it was going to be a much bigger part, and then, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way.
Yeah. One of the movies you were also in, Jury Duty. I mean, Pauly Shore is a nut. I mean, he's absolutely crazy. I love watching some of his films as well. Was it fun to make that movie?
Yeah, that was a blast because, you know, they just wanted everybody to be as funny as possible. So, you know, we got to just ham it up, and they liked my part, and I was getting such a good response that they wrote in a couple extra scenes, which was really fun. So, you know, I had a really good time on that one.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci was on that one, and Tia Carrera, and so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I enjoyed that one. I thought you did a great job in that one as well.
Thanks.
Twister, which everyone knows, stars Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. Now, is Helen Hunt just as beautiful in person as she is on film?
Yeah, she had said that she definitely wanted to get in shape for the movie. So I remember, you know, all she wore was like a tank top and pants. So it wasn't like she was wearing anything super sexy or anything. But you're like, wow, she is a very pretty woman.
Did you have any moments on that set where that stood out to you?
Well, my famous story on that one, or favorite story on that one, is Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was one of his big breaks, actually, that movie. And we all got along all pretty very well. And Philip Seymour Hoffman we were there for 4 months, and my wife came out. The three days after I left, my wife broke her wrist, and so she couldn't go to work because she worked as an office where she had to type a lot. So it didn't work. So she flew out to where we were in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and she had her cast on. Well, she would visit periodically throughout the 4 months I was there. And I remember towards the end of the movie, we were in some field up in Iowa, and we were, you know, you get over being in a field all day long, every day, after 4 months. And I remember she walked in to visit, and I remember Philip Seymour Hoffman looking at her and going, oh, my God, she's healed. And I said, what? He goes, look at her. She's got no cast. She's completely healed, and we're still in the field out here. We're still in the middle of Oklahoma, and she has regrown an entire bone, and I'm still here. So I just remember that was just so funny because it just seemed like eternity. I remember coming home and just eating at an LA restaurant and going, oh my God, this is amazing. Because it was a very small town, they had, you know, very little food, but the best barbecue ever. So in Oklahoma. What's that?
Yeah. I imagine so. Now, talking about, I'm sorry, we lost each other.
Hey, Andrew.
Okay, Sean. Oh, sorry. Now
yeah,
speaking about.
I'm losing you technically a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that.
Now we're good.
Yeah, we may be having a little bit more technical issues. We had Chris Mann on the other night, and we were having a little technical issues then. And I want to mention real quick that the call-in number for this show is 818-495-6928 if anyone would like to call in quick. And I just received an email, so I'm not sure, quite sure if the call-in number is working correctly right now. So, you actually have a YouTube channel called That Guy SMW. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I just started one this year, and I was doing some kind of blogs from my home, and then I actually changed it up because I filmed one of my own Groundlings sketches called Dorothy 50 Years Later, and it was about Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz, how I thought it was kind of depressing, and I thought she would grow up and be the crazy, bitter, drunk woman in town because no one believed that she went to Oz, and so I wrote a sketch about that for the Groundling Theater, and then I filmed it, and that has gotten a really, really good response. So I kind of changed the format, and I'm trying to do a little higher production instead of doing them every week, you know, for maybe once every few weeks, higher production value and, you know, more solid written skits than just me sitting and chatting in my house. So but the Dorothy is really fun.
I should check out the Dorothy before we care. I loved it.
Yeah, it
was awesome. When did you come up with that? You said.
When did I film it?
Huh?
Sorry, I can't hear you, Andrew.
Sorry, I'm not quite sure what's going on. When did you come up with that to do that?
Oh, that was years ago. That was like 20 years ago when I was at the Groundlings. But it was always one of my favorite pieces, and I always wanted to put it on film, and I just never did. And finally, I had Brandon Trost, who is a super talented DP. He's done MacGruber. He's done Crank 2, Halloween 2. He just did Rob Zombie's latest movie. He's going to do Seth Rogen's directorial debut. And he's a friend of mine, and he just went up and we shot it in half a day up about an hour north of L.A.
Right.
And most of the day was the drive, so I just did it like four or five times, and we went to lunch and called it a day, and it was a piece that I was just, it's one of my favorite characters, and so I'm trying to figure out what to do with that character now. I've got a few options. I'm either do it comedically or a feature. I'm juggling a few ideas because people's response was so strong.
Yeah, I'd really look forward to that. I want to see that. Now, from your YouTube channel as well, is it true that people have actually gotten you confused with Steve Buscemi?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I get it all the time. People come up to me all the time and they say, "Hey, are you the guy from Con Air? Are you the guy from Spy Kids?
Armageddon?"
Armageddon. Are you the guy from Armageddon? No, I'm not. But the scary thing is, as you saw in that video, is they actually went up to him and said, "Are you the guy from the milk commercial?" It's a compliment to me, but I feel bad that he's insulted by being called the milk guy. So.
Now, I do have to say that is one of my favorite commercials. I remember when it first aired, and I just laughed so hard. It was just, it's so funny. One of my favorites, and I don't even like commercials, but that's
right.
That was directed by
Michael Bay.
Really?
Yeah, that was his last commercial before he started his feature career. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever have an opportunity to make any more Got Milk commercials?
Nope, they only had that one. I mean, they couldn't really bring that character back, and they made, the whole point was to make a bunch of different people in a bunch of different situations, so it didn't really lend itself to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I want to ask you a quick question that one of my friend Trina from Hampton, Georgia, wanted me to ask, and I hope I get this right. How much has celebrity life changed your life from?
Well, it really comes in waves when something is out. The biggest wave for me was obviously when the milk commercial was out, and I was stopped every time. I couldn't walk out my door without someone going, "Got milk?" Or why didn't you spit out the peanut butter sandwich? Or, didn't you know the right answer? Or, some people were yelling at me as if I was really that person. They said, "Why didn't you spit out the thing?" And I said, "Because I was paid not to."
Because it wasn't in the script.
Yeah, because it wasn't in the script, and that's not what the story was. And
right.
And, or they just yell, "Got milk?" And I remember right on my 30th birthday party, the waiter like put milk on the table and said, "Got milk?" and ran over to. But I had like my family there from out of town, and he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I thought, well, and then he went over and laughed with his friends, and I thought, okay, that has nothing to do with me. That has something to do with him. I don't care about somebody coming over and saying, "Hey, you were great in that commercial. That was really fun." Versus, trying to make a joke at my expense. So that's the only time it's ever really bothered me. And then, mostly people will just, like I said in my blog, it's like that guy. People will walk by, they'll do a double take, they'll do a triple take, and then they'll just go, "I think I know that guy." So I've got one of those faces that people know, but they don't necessarily. It doesn't bother me too much because I can live a pretty fairly normal life. It's just every once in a while people will come over to the table and say hello, if I'm at a restaurant.
Right.
So
I had the chance a few months ago to interview baseball great Dale Murphy.
Oh, wow.
And And he was telling me about the celebrity life, about how he had fans show up at his front door and, you know, at the movies, following him into the movies, stores, restaurants, everything else. Do you have a big problem with that? Does that really bother you?
No, I've never been that big of a celebrity, because you got to remember, out here, there's so many actors. There's just so many actors that are around out here that – out here in L.A., I'm not that big of a celebrity. I'm a much bigger celebrity as soon as I leave Los Angeles than I am in Los Angeles. You know, I don't have paparazzi following me or my kids to school every day. So, because at my school, you know, it's just a local public school. There's about, you know, the guy from Mike and Molly, his kid goes to my school, and no one bothers him.
Really?
So. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. What would you be doing if you weren't acting?
I always thought I would work with kids. I loved working with kids. I did, you know, I was like a puppeteer when I was a kid for kids' parties. I worked at Easter Seals for a while with sick kids, and I always loved working with young kids. So it was probably what I was going to do if acting never worked out.
Right. Okay. Well, you have a new film coming out this Friday, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see this film. It stars Jason Troust, yourself, of course, Jason Troust, Levin Massey. It's called The FP. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I was in Maryland shooting a movie called Laid to Rest, and which is another horror movie, and I met Jason Troust and his sister Sarah Troust, and eventually their brother Brandon Troust, and they were doing a movie back in LA. They had shot part of it, and they had me come in and do a fun cameo part. I can't tell you what it's going to be. You have to see the movie. But it's like an action movie, like an 80s action movie with rival gangs in a small town called FP who fight each other by doing Dance Dance Revolution. So it's played very straight, but it's really comedic. And Nick Principe, who was in Laid to Rest, is in it, as well as myself. And it is a very funny movie. It is played big at South by Southwest, and it's coming out in a theater near you. You can look it up on the Cinema Draft House website, and they'll tell you all the theaters that it's coming out this week, the 16th through the 22nd. And it's definitely really, really fun.
And again, that's called The FP.
The letters.
Right. And I love the whole cover to the movie, too. It looks like it doesn't look like one of these movies that, you know, say, oh, well, I might go see it. No, I mean, you see this movie and, oh, I've got to go see this movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of movies.
Yeah. Check out the trailer online and then go to the Cinema Draft House website and find out where it's playing. You'll see why it's so fun.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I mentioned that a minute ago that I met you at a convention right outside of Atlanta recently.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? You do a lot of conventions, or you have another one coming up?
I'm actually just kind of getting back into it. I started talking to, you know, kind of, I got a lot of Facebook requests from horror fans, and I started just accepting them and talking to people. And there was actually a fan who just said, "You got to come out to the cons." And I thought, wow, I did it a long time ago, but I didn't know what I was doing. I did Chiller Theater, and then it's been 10 years or so, and then people are saying, yeah, you've got to come out. You know, you've done Laid to Rest since, and you did Rob Zombie's Halloween, and so you should come out and do them. And I thought, well, all right. So I found a manager who puts you into these kind of events, and the first one was Days of the Dead in Atlanta. I'm going to be doing Days of the Dead in July. I'm going to be going up to Denver to do a screening at a Spooky Mile High Cinema, I think it is, that's just going to be me, but I'm going to do a Q&A and autograph signing, and I think we're going to do people in the, watch people on the stairs with the fans, and so that should be really fun. And I just got a couple texts today from the manager saying he's got a couple other shows that I'm going out to, so hopefully if you're out
very cool.
go to the cons, I'll be meeting you someday soon.
Yes, and like I said, it was such a pleasure to meet you. And anyone that has a chance to go meet you, they definitely should. It's like I said, I really do appreciate you being so humble. It was a pleasure.
You know, It was an honor to meet all you guys, too.
Well, thank you. It looks like our switchboard is working for just a second, and let's take this call real quick. Hello,
sure.
Caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi.
How you doing? I got a question for you.
Sure.
What's some horror movies that inspired you to get into the horror movie scene?
You know, I didn't really aspire to get in. When you're an actor, you know, they say, oh, here's a part for a kid's movie, or here's a part for a horror movie, or here's a part for a drama or a comedy. And you just say, yeah, I'd like to try that or not. And the part of Roach was my first horror thing I'd ever done. I'd mostly done comedy. I came from a comedy background. And, so I had taken a serious drama class, and so I tried out for some drama things, and when I got the part, I mean, the part was just such an interesting part, and obviously I knew who Wes Craven was, so it was really this just fate that kind of brought it together. And then once I did that, I realized what a fun genre it was. So some people will say, oh, you know, when you had a lot going on, you'd say, yeah, I really just want to do comedy, and they would turn down drama auditions. I never said no to hardly any auditions, ever, you know, because I wanted to do it all. So I've done soap operas, kid shows, Disney Channel shows, horror movies, comedy movies, dramas. You know, that's the nice part about being a character actor. You can do everything. So whenever there's horror movies and it's a great character, you know, I went for it all the time.
All right, let me just say, you did a good job as Roach and People Under the Stairs.
Thank you so much. That was a really fun part to do.
Thank you. Now, did you ever think about doing stand-up?
You know, I did. I did, and I actually tried it a little while, but it is such a specific craft that you really have to put a lot of time into it. And you kind of come in, you always come into acting, you know, one way or another. And I came in through kind of sketch comedy through the Groundlings. I was in the Groundlings with Lisa Kudrow at the time. And right after me was Will Ferrell and, you know, a bunch of people. So that's right. The way I kind of got into, you know, that was my way in. You know, Jim Carrey did stand up and then sketch comedy. You know, everybody has their kind of way in. Some people come in through soap operas. Some people come in through, you know, so stand up is just another way to get in. And I was focusing more on writing characters and sketches than doing stand up.
Mm-hmm. Who would you love to work for or work with in a movie? Do you have anyone that you really inspire?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to work with some of the big comedians, you know, like Steve Carell or you know, Seth Rogen or Zach Galifianakis, those kind of guys. And on the horror front, I've already worked with Rob Zombie, who I always wanted to work with, so that was really fun. And I'd love to work with Wes again. That would be awesome.
I've got to ask that real quick, too. I know we may be keeping you over your time. So I apologize. What was it like working with Rob Zombie? What did you think about being around him?
He was amazing. We actually sat on the set and talked about movies that had nothing to do with horror. He's very well educated in film and knows, you know, a lot about, you know, European cinema and old American classics. And, you know, it was kind of interesting that's what we were talking about. And I never thought I'd be sitting with Rob Zombie in the middle of a dark field full of smoke talking about that. So it was really neat. He's a very smart and nice guy. So that was also really great to work with.
Right. And before I let you go, I want to ask you two quick questions.
Sure.
My brother is in acting, and I have some friends on Facebook that are trying to get into the acting business as well. Mm-hmm. What can you tell these guys? What do you tell an inspiring actor that's trying to make it?
Well, what I usually say is the same thing. I say what I did and what, you know, you have to give 2 years of your life 100%, meaning you have to get a job that supports. You can't have a normal job and then try to dabble in it. You have to give it 100% of yourself for a couple years, meaning if you need to make a living, then make a living doing a job that can work around your acting schedule. I've roomed with four guys in a two-bedroom apartment, slept on an air mattress, walked to my waiting job, took a bus to the Groundlings, you know, I was broke, but I gave my life to it. And then after a couple of years, I evaluated and said, oh, well, I'm moving up in the groundlings class. Things are going better. So I'll give it another couple of years. And, you know, and it kept going until I thought, okay, this is actually working out. But what I would add to that now is do your own stuff. You can now, you know, shoot and write and put stuff on YouTube that's your own stuff. Because we never had that opportunity when I was starting out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd have to do live theater and try to get someone to come to a theater, and that was really hard. But now you can actually shoot and produce your own stuff. So that's my advice.
I think YouTube is amazing. It's you know, someone that can't afford to go to all the way to L.A. or New York, this is YouTube is an incredible resource. Just like Blog Talk Radio, for anyone wanting to be a radio host, or for anyone wanting to get into this business that wants to do it, YouTube is for actors and singers and that kind of thing. And Blog Talk Radio is like YouTube. This is exactly what it is. So
Exactly. It's a you know, everybody's got a shot now.
Absolutely. Well, tell people real quick how they can find you if they're interested.
Yeah, on Facebook, you know, under Sean Whalen, and that guy Sean Whalen on Facebook, and also on YouTube, that guy SMW is my channel. And like I said, I'm working on. I had some technical difficulties with my last video. It was supposed to be up a week and a half ago, and I'm still having some post issues. So that will be coming up soon. Those are the best ways to find me.
I know I said this when I met you at the convention, but you've got to get Twitter. Everybody has Twitter.
I mean, I am on Twitter too. That's right. That guy SMW on Twitter as well. So I'm getting there. I'm catching up here.
I'm with Sean Whalen right now. You've got to check out his film, the FP, coming out this Friday. Sean, thank you so much for joining me. It is such a pleasure having you on.
Andrew, thanks for taking the time, and enjoyed meeting you. And it was fun.
It was fun. It was such a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you more in the future.
All right, Andrew.
Thanks.
Have a great night.
You too as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was actor Sean Whalen. Like I said, check him out in his new movie, The FP, coming out this Friday in theaters near you. It is such a pleasure having him on. Like I said before, or like I said when we were just speaking, he's such a humble guy. If you have a chance to go to a convention that he will be at, or anywhere around, please do this. Please do it. You won't regret meeting him. He's a great guy. You can check him out, like he said, on Facebook, Sean Whalen. I guess that is his main Facebook name. If not, just type in Sean Whalen. He lives in Los Angeles, California, so he should come right up. He came right up for me, so I'm sure he will. Thank you all so much for joining me. Okay, like I said when I started this about an announcement, my thoughts for Blog Talk Radio, for The Drew Show, was to bring... was to come on here and talk, basically. I didn't know that there was an opportunity to interview celebrities on the show and things like that. It had always been my dream to be on TV or be on the radio or something like that, and helping people or talking to people and just making kind of a name for myself. I think everyone in life just kind of wants to make a name for themselves and wants to be recognized or known for something. After a good bit of consideration and thought, I am deciding to step away from hosting The Drew Show. I want to work behind the scenes in producing, editing, writing, everything else. I'm not leaving The Drew Show. I'm looking for a host to be a full-time host of The Drew Show. The name will not change. I will not change. I will still even come on the show from time to time. But the reason I'm mentioning this now, like I said, I'm looking for a host. If anyone would like to apply, please email me, drew@thedrewshow.com. That's drew@thedrewshow.com. This probably won't take effect for a few more months, so we'll have more guests on the show. I'll still be on the show as well. But you can email me there. or if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, then you can reply to the Facebook post that I posted, and I'll email you, or you can email me on Facebook or whatever works best. But I've decided to step away, just not for any particular reason. Just I feel like I've had great success being a host, and this is kind of like a next chapter that I want to do. I would like to sit back and enjoy listening to someone host my show. I think that would be a lot of fun, and I can learn a lot, you know, in the background anyway. But what we'll probably do with that is have five hosts, and I'll choose between them, and maybe I'll let you vote, and you can choose between them, or whatever the case may be. But I do appreciate you all listening. It is such a pleasure having you to listen every time we have a show. I've been on air now for a little over a year. I took a break for a few months, but a much needed break. But like I said, I appreciate everyone so much. And I want to play this clip real quick. This is Falling by Chris Mann. We had Chris Mann on our show the other night, and I don't want to make light or anything of me leaving, of me not hosting anymore, but if you are interested in hosting, this is something that you can put on your resume, that you hosted an internet podcast show, so that may be something that you're interested in. But anyway, enjoy this song.
Gone.
And that was Chris Mann Falling. We had Chris Mann on our show just a few days ago, actually, and we had great listeners from that, some great callers from that as well. I want to thank everyone so much for joining us today. Like I said about the hosting, please email me, drew@thedrewshow.com, or any of my friends on Facebook, you can send me an email and we'll talk from there. Like I said, this is something that probably won't take effect for a few months or something, but we'll just see what happens. But anyway, thank you all so much for joining me again. I really do appreciate it. Give a special shout out to Jerry Jones, and not the Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys, but Jerry Jones and Trina from Hampton, Georgia. I appreciate you guys calling in and the question that you wanted asked. Thank you all again. Thanks to our special guest, Mr. Sean Whalen. Please check out his new movie, The FP. It's coming out in theaters this Friday. Good night.